Take your Bible, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 5 again. And we are looking at the Beatitudes. The way that word came about, as I've mentioned to you, is from a Latin word, beatitudo, and they used that when they translated the Bible into the Latin Vulgate, and so it began to be known as the Beatitudes. And blessed, the word blessed literally means happy or very privileged, or those that are doing the things that are mentioned in chapter 5 in these particular verses. Makarios, happy, blessed, fulfilled, are those that do these things. Keep in mind that this is not for another age, it's for us today. These are things we need to be practicing in our lives as Christians right now. It's not something in the next millennium or the millennial reign of Christ or the kingdom age. These are things that we should be striving for every day in our lives. And we may not perfect them any more than we would the law, but certainly Jesus is saying to us, these are the things we need to be striving for. And the entryway, of course, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's how you get in. That's where it begins. We realize we're totally bankrupt. We have nothing to offer God. We're nothing but sinners. And then the next response is emotional. Blessed are they that mourn. We begin to weep over our sin, and we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tonight we're going to look at the third one of those things, where he's talking about being meek. Happy, fulfilled, or blessed are the meek. And that, of course, is what he is saying in verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. Now, let's define meekness. Let's look at meekness defined. Blessed are the meek. Well, we've got to know who the meek are if we're going to know whether or not we're going to be happy. And we have to practice what he's talking about. So he says, blessed are the meek. Now, what does he mean by that? Most of the time in our thinking, we're not thinking the way the Bible is talking about in relationship to this life. We have some real struggles with that. A lot of us are like Nietzsche, who was a very liberal philosopher and so-called scholar. In fact, he impacted modern-day theology a lot. He was one of the first ones that came up with God is dead theory. It goes way back a long time. And he wanted to change politics and change the things that were certainly Christian and taught in the Christian community. And he went after that. Consequently, many, many theologians have followed him in the modern sense of the word. And many have fought such teaching, such as J. Frank Norris, who fought that kind of thing years ago, so it wouldn't come into seminaries and be taught. But Nietzsche, when he referred to the Beatitudes, said this, this is a direct quote, "We are listening to the most seductive lie that history has ever heard. We are listening to the most seductive lie that history has ever heard." And then he rephrased verse 5. Instead of reading, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," this is the way he rewrote it. He said, "Assert yourselves, it is the arrogant who take over the earth." Assert yourselves. Now, if you've been listening in the last couple of decades, you know that that's what our society is saying. Assert yourself. Be bold. Be arrogant. Be somebody. Step up. And that's contrary to the Bible for the believer. Now, there's a balance, and we'll talk about that, but that is not what God is talking about when he says, blessed are the meek. He's not talking about blessed are the arrogant and those particular things. Now, as I said, I think Christians have a problem with this, even believers. We're more attracted to the world and the world system than we are, generally speaking, many times to the very principles that God has given us. Oh, we believe in God and we believe in Jesus and we're certainly not against him. But when it comes right down to doing what he says and what he's teaching us here about being meek, we say, well, now I don't know about that. I'm not sure that will work. And we're not too attracted to it. We believe the meek are going to go to heaven, but a lot of us believe the meek are inheriting the earth right now. And we want our piece of the earth and our piece of the action and our piece of the gusto. Even believers are like that. And so there's another crowd that we think is getting part of the earth today. And that would be the arrogant crowd. That would be those who are mafia leaders, those who are the porno kings, those who are multinational corporation executives, those who are arrogant, those who are aggressive, those who are, in some cases, military dictators. We say they're the ones that are getting a piece of the earth today, a piece of the world today, because they step up and they're arrogant and they're bold and they're brash, and that's how they get a piece of the earth and get a piece of the action and a lot of the material things that are there. And so we hear all the time, if you want to be a successful person, assert yourself. If you want to get to the top of the ladder, then let everybody know who you are and that you're around. You be a take charge kind of guy. I was riding with someone one day, and we were out on a highway, and I was in the back seat, and we happened to be riding in a Cadillac, and the guy that was up front, a younger guy, we were coming to a road, and the traffic was a little bit slow, and he said, hurry up and pass that car. He said, if you don't, I'm going to get over there and drive. He said, I'm one of those take charge guys. I thought, well, I'm sort of glad you're not driving with me in the back seat and passing on a double yellow line. I didn't think that was a very good idea. But you have that philosophy today. Take charge. Get out there. Be number one. Get on the top. Leo Durocher said to Mel Ott, back when he was talking about the New York Yankees back in the 1940s, and you've heard this expression, nice guys finish last. How many of you ever heard that expression? Nice guys finish last. Well, it sounds good, and it may be a motivator in some way in sports, but that's just not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say nice guys finish last. He says they finish first. There was a man who later surrendered for the ministry. He's a very good speaker and author today, but he later surrendered to the ministry. But when he was going to SMU, before he later surrendered to the ministry and became more of an evangelical and independent type guy, he was talking to someone. He had a sort of a little part in a drama at the theater there at SMU. And he was talking to a young lady who really wanted to get to the top. And she really wanted to make it big on Broadway, and that was her goal. And he was trying to tell her that they were in a conversation, and he was saying something to her like, you know, blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. You need Christ, so on and so forth. And she said, no, that's not the way it works. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall be ground into the earth. And that's the way a lot of people think, and that's the way a lot of Christians act, even sometimes at our churches. So she had that dog-eat-dog Broadway career attitude. She knew what it was. I wonder if we passed out placards to politicians and to CEOs and to religious leaders that said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I wonder how many of them would put that placard up behind their desk. I don't think many of them would. I think probably most all of them would not put up a placard behind their desk that says something like that. They just wouldn't allow that. So sometimes I think it's because we're uneasy with the English meaning of the word meekness. Blessed are the meek. And when we many times hear that, and we'd read it in a English dictionary, when it's talking about the meek, it almost tells you blessed are those that are cowards. Blessed are those that are bashful and backward, and blessed are those that are weak, deficient in courage. But that's not what God is talking about when he uses this word. He's not talking about being a wallflower somewhere and going in a corner, not ever asserting yourself at all, or standing up for what's right, or doing the right thing. But he's saying there should be some kind of balance in that whole thing. Now, Aristotle had what he called the golden mean. And what he said was, and I'll put it in layman's terms, in our words, he said, there's a midpoint. And you can either be too mean or you can be too goody-goody, too kind. But there's a midpoint somewhere there where we should be. Now, I don't normally quote Aristotle. I'd rather quote the Lord Jesus Christ. But I sort of know what he means, and I believe that this is somewhat of the whole idea of what Christ is talking about here. And when we're talking comparatively, we are talking about something that is meek compared to something that is not meek. We might say that that was a mild storm that came through the other night, last night. And a lot of folks who were in it would say, well, it wasn't too mild to me. 60 mile an hour winds or 70, whatever it was, and some problems. But compared to a hurricane, a full force, full-fledged hurricane, it was a pretty mild storm. And so we have to look at the scripture and see what God is talking about as he gives us other illustrations throughout the scripture. So he's not talking about some Casper Milk Toast that was some cartoon character back in the 50s, I believe, that is weak and that would strain if he was trying to stomp on a grape. And that's what a lot of people think, that being meek means that we're to be like that, we're to be weak, we're to have no backbone, we're never to say anything, never to take a stand, never to be forward in what we're doing. But I think the Bible teaches something different from that. There is a Bible meekness. What would be your definition of Bible meekness? I believe the greatest definition of Bible meekness is power under control. Power under control. By the way, it is one of the fruit of the Spirit, which is a whole cluster that we should have at one time, not fruits, plural. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness is in there. So it is attached to the Holy Spirit being in control of our lives for us to be meek according to the Word of God. Dr. Criswell said, meekness is never weakness. Meekness is never weakness. And I understand exactly what he meant by that. Sometimes I struggle in the ministry and have, and I occasionally have to work on it and deal with it and think through it again, and that is, how can you be a leader and also be meek? Now, some people don't like a pastor-led church, but that's the Bible, and we'll get into that in another series I'm going to teach later on. That's the way it should be done. That's the Bible way. It's not a democracy, but it is a pastor-led church. All the churches that got started in the early New Testament were started, and then the apostles went back and appointed somebody as the pastor of that church, and they went from there, and then those churches started other churches, and then pastors came into those churches. But a lot of folks don't like that. And I struggle with that sometimes. How are you going to be meek and how are you going to be a leader? How can you make the decisions and how can you lead and say, no, it needs to be done this way. We don't want to do it that way. And this is what the Bible teaches, and yet at the same time be meek. And yet I believe God has given us something that is both strength and beauty, and that's what he expects out of preachers as far as the way things would be handled in a leadership role. And that applies to everybody's life indirectly. So I believe that's the definition of what he's talking about in meekness. Meekness is power under control. Who's in control? God, the Holy Spirit. And God is in control of the situation. Secondly, meekness is demonstrated. How do we know that what I've just said is right? Because the Bible demonstrates for us what meekness is. Do you remember who the Bible says was the greatest and most meek man on the face of the earth? You remember who it was? Moses. That's unbelievable. You wouldn't think that, but that's absolutely true. Numbers 12:3. The Bible tells us, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were living in that day, is what he's saying. Who was it? Moses. He said he was the meekest man living in that day, and probably one of the most meek men that ever lived. And yet, he started a revolution. How did he start the revolution? Well, it all started out like this. He saw an Egyptian being killed, and he said, that's not right. And he went over to help out, and he killed, saw an Israelite being killed, and he killed an Egyptian. And yet he was called the meekest man on the face of the earth. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that I'm going to kill you, but I'm just saying, let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. He's not talking about some sissified, milquetoast-type person that is a sissy. He's talking about somebody who is under the control of God, doing what God has told him or her to do. And so he started a revolution. And then after that, he faced Pharaoh. And he faced him head on, and he faced him, and he said, God said, let my people go. And if you don't, there's going to be a curse on you, flies and lice and boils and so on and so forth. And you'd say to a lot of preachers today, you'd say, well, that's not being meek, but he was simply doing what God had told him to do. And God had called him. He was had a little speech impediment. Said, Lord, I really don't want to go. And he made a mistake of letting Aaron go with him. But at any rate, he went on out there and did what God told him to do. And he faced Pharaoh and the judgments. Then he led 2 million people plus through the wilderness as he was leading them along. They were mean-spirited and rebellious. They didn't like his leadership. They criticized him, complained, and murmured against him the whole time just about, oh, we want to get back to Egypt. We want to go back. We're not happy with this manna. We need more water than you're giving us. And give us more meat. God would do that, and he'd give them quail, and they'd be sick and tired of eating quail and those things. But that's what they wanted. But he was just doing what God told him to do as he led them as far as he could. One time he struck the rock twice. He wasn't supposed to do that. He got a little out of sorts. He was human, but he was still God's man. And God told him, and God always deals with his man. He said, you can't go over into the promised land. I'm going to let you see it, but you're not going over. Joshua was going to take him on in, but you're still my man, and you've done what I've told you to do for the most part. And so it is power under control. And that's what you and I need tonight. We need submission to God. Blessed are the meek. Who are the meek? Those who submit to God's will. Those who are submissive to the Lord. They are the meek. And they bow down to his authority. What does that mean? Well, they're the kind of people that are slow to cause offenses. They don't try to stir up trouble. They are slow to cause problems. Why? They're meek. They want to be in God's will. And they know it's not God's will to cause problems, especially in a local New Testament church. And so God says, meekness is those who are under my power. They have the ability to do certain things, but they don't do it because they want to bring glory to my name. Not only that, blessed are they that are slow to resent being offended. They're those that just walk around with a chip on their shoulder and they just dare somebody to knock it off. They have overly sensitive spirits, and they really don't like for the preacher to even be preaching about it. They don't even like to hear it. And that's just proof number one that they're the ones that need it, and that's what's wrong with them. They resent it. They get mad. They turn red in the face. They walk out another door occasionally, and that's just the way they are. They don't like that. But listen, the Bible says that people that are blessed, that people that are meek, are under the power of God. Not only do they purposely be careful that they don't offend people, they also are very careful that they're not easily offended. Amen or oh me. That's biblical. That's what the Bible is talking about. Proverbs 16:1, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. It has to be from the Lord. James says in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, amen? Swift to hear, slow to speak, amen? Slow to wrath. Oh me? That's what the Bible says. And there are other verses like it. So we have Moses, who was the meekest man, but he was quite a man who was simply doing what God told him to do. You and I need to be like him. Let's look at another illustration. Pretty good one, too. I don't think you can argue with this one. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart." Amen. Who said that? Jesus. "I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Amen. Happiness, blessedness, peace, and all of those things that he's talking about in the Beatitudes. And Jesus said, "Learn of me, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly in heart." And yet, we see Jesus Christ, here he goes into the temple. He looks around, he sees the thieves, the money changers. He walks over to them and said, "You've made my father's house a den of thieves." And whoom, he turned the tables over and the money rang out and he scolded them and got onto them. Was he not being meek? He was doing his father's will. He was under a greater power, the power of his father. What did he say he came to do? "I came to do my father's will." When he went and saw in his father's house these thieves, and by the way, it doesn't mean it's wrong to sell tapes or books in the foyer, but they were lying about it. They were forcing people to buy their product. They were charging way more than they should have. It was a big religious racket, like some of the televangelists' rackets. And so he went in there and he turned over those tables. Sometimes he'd see the Pharisees and he'd walk up to them in front of everybody and he'd say, "You are nothing but a whitewashed sepulcher filled with dead men's bones." That was Jesus. And who could be any more meek than the Lord Jesus Christ? But you got to remember, he was truth and he was love also. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, well, he was meek and he was weak when he went to the cross. He was never any stronger than when he, as a lamb, went to the cross to die for you and me. You see, the enemy was not in control that day. He was in control as he went to the cross and took my place and your place on the cross. And so Christ is a good example. Now, saved folks ought to be like that. We as saved people ought to be strong in the Lord, but we ought to be loving and kind and meek, simply obeying and doing what we know God has taught us to do in his will. And I believe that means a spirit of gentleness and kindness, a spirit of forgiveness, amen, and a spirit of not creating problems and not being upset when somebody hurts our feelings. We just turn that over to God and leave it in the hands of Almighty God. And then there are those that are unsaved and those that are saved but unspiritual. They're unsaved, saved but unspiritual. You know, a lot of times it's hard to tell the difference. Right? Amen. The way some Christians act compared to the way some that are unsaved act, sometimes you wonder, who's right here? In fact, sometimes I think some of the non-believers have an edge on some Christians that I've known. But unsaved and unspiritual. You know who they are? They think they're the center of the universe. Everything rotates around me. In my family and myself, and everything rotates right around me. We are the right ones. We have the right opinion. We have the right choices. We have the right methodology. Everybody else is wrong. Like the woman watching her son march in the band, and she said, "Look at all the rest of them. They're all out of step. He's the only one in step." Amen. Those are the kind of people that are unsaved or unspiritual. It's my views, my wishes. It's my way or the highway. And if it isn't my way, I'll hit the highway. It sort of certainly does not smack of humility and graciousness that God is talking about in his word. Henry Drummond made this statement. He said, "Anger and irritation at other people for not giving us straight A's in our lives is probably responsible for more pain than any other kind of sin. Let me read that again because I think it's worth reading again. Anger and irritation at other people for not giving us straight A's in our lives is probably responsible for more pain than any other kind of sin. Think about it. I believe the Bible agrees with that. How do we handle the slings and how do we handle the spears of the enemy? You remember how David handled them, don't you? And yet we get bitter and angry. We want to take matters into our own hands. God says that's not being meek. Blessed are the meek. And we need to be careful that we respond differently because we know who we are. We know whose we are. We know we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring, counting youth work, 40 years I've been involved in it. And I know some of you want me to retire, but I'm going to hang on as long as I can just to spite you. But at any rate, I know I'm not, you know. But I never get used to criticism. You know, it always bothers me when somebody criticizes me. You're the same way. Don't look pious. You're the very same way. So I'm just a human being. And it bothers me when people are very critical of me. And then I start thinking about what the Bible says. Then I start thinking about my morning prayer times. And then I start thinking about what I have to confess in my morning prayer times. And then I start thinking, thank God they don't know what I'm confessing in my morning prayer times. They really have ground to criticize me then. Amen? And that's the truth. And I'm not really trying to, there's some humor in that, but I'm not trying to be funny. But I'm telling you, if you knew the truth, if we all knew the truth about each other, we'd say, hey, I don't have much to, you know, just thank God. If they criticize me, I'm just glad they don't know all the truth. You know, you say, well, they lied on me. Well, thank God they don't know the truth about you. You want, anybody want to come up here and tell all of your life, everything you've done all your life tonight? Come on, help yourself. I'll back up and let you come. You can sit there and look as pious as a knot on the log if you want to, but I can tell you, you want to come up here and start telling all the secret things about your life, help yourself. Because there's not a person here, according to the Bible, to be willing to do that. And then I would say they're lying about it, and I wouldn't believe what they're saying anyway. Because the Bible says we've all sinned. And I'm not trying to be harsh about it. I'm just saying that we need to recognize that we have to just let God handle those things. All of our battles, I heard Charles Stanley say this last Sunday in a message he was preaching on television. And I agreed with that, what he said at that point. He said, all of our battles are prayer battles. And you know, they must be won in the prayer closet. And so what we have to do is not get on the outs with everybody about stuff. We need to get in our prayer closet, get on our knees, get on our faces before Almighty God. Blessed and happy are the meek who are under the power of God, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness, I can tell you, and gentleness would soon end any church squabbles that exist. Now, meekness is dividend. Are there any dividends to it? Yes. The meek shall inherit the earth. It all starts at the beginning. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We know we're sinners. Blessed are those that mourn. We weep over our sin. And then we're meek. We know all of that and we humble ourselves before God. And we say, Lord, you be in charge of my life. And so that's meekness's dividend. We're going to inherit the earth. Now I know that Matthew is really quoting Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, that was a promise that was made to the Jews that they were going to inherit the promised land. But I believe it was messianic. It went way on past that. And Jesus was saying, we're going to inherit the earth. Now, I won't inherit all of the earth, I suppose, but I'll have my part and you'll have your part and we'll be part of the millennial kingdom of Christ and he'll be ruling and reigning over all of this globe and conditions will be fine then. We won't have to worry about global warming and politicians. Amen? And undertakers. It takes submission to God. That's what it takes. Blessed are the meek. And you see, it all begins that you never get saved until you learn to humble yourself and be meek before God. And then when we understand all of that, we get saved. And when we get saved, we have the promise that we're going to inherit the earth. And so we have to submit to God. Now, we don't earn it. You know that. Wednesday night crowd knows that. We don't earn it. And we don't work for it. We don't win it. But thank God we march triumphantly into it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, an inheritance comes when somebody dies. I've never gotten one unless somebody died. I've never gotten one from somebody that did die yet. So if any of you want to put me in your will and you feel a little sick, you know, you might want to go ahead and add that in there. But an inheritance comes when somebody dies, right? Who died? Jesus. He died. Thank God he arose. But we have an inheritance because the Lord Jesus Christ died. And so the arrogant are not going to inherit the earth. You know that? They're not. Because they never get saved. They're better than everybody else. They always hide behind hypocrites. And they always condemn the church. Napoleon didn't inherit the earth. He ran into problems. Alexander the Great ran into problems. There are others along the way that ran into problems. Hitler ran into problems. God said, Hitler, I'm going to show you who's in charge, and I'll just raise Russia up and give you some cold weather, and you're going to get whipped. God was in charge. He thought he's going to do it. Saddam Hussein, he kept saying he was Nebuchadnezzar II and he was going to lead the Muslim people, inherit the earth. I got news for you. They're not going to inherit the earth. They may think they're going to push the Jews and the Christians into the water and kill us all, but they're not going to inherit the earth. They're going to have some surprises. Now, if they get saved, become a Christian, a born-again Christian, they will. But if they don't, they're not. But I guarantee you, it's not going to be the Khomeinis and all the rest of them that are going to inherit the earth. They're not going to do it. It'll only be God who does that. But, you know, one thing about it is, we can enjoy some of this right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We can enjoy. We may not have a lot. We may not have a big piece of dirt. We may be renting our dirt. But if we know we're saved, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? We may not have what they have, and a lot of them they're unsatisfied. They want more. They have friends that they don't trust because they think the friends are there just to use them because of what they have. You've heard that many times from wealthy people. And they're never really totally satisfied. They're always, you know, they've got to have the best table. They've got to have the suite at the ball game. They've got to have first class in the airplane. We may not have all that, but bless God, I'd rather have what I have, know I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and someday I'm going to inherit the earth, even if I don't have those things. Amen. I'd rather have that peace in my heart when I go to bed at night. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head is bowed just a moment. Let me ask you a question. You and God know, and you have to answer to God like I do. Are you listening? Say amen if you're listening.
Amen.
Are you practicing meekness? You don't have to answer that out loud. I'm asking the question, are you practicing meekness? What is meekness? Power under the control of God. Power under the control of the Holy Spirit. Choices we have, but we put them under the control of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you tonight, are you forgiving? Are you kind? Are you humble? Blessed are the meek. Are you spirit controlled? Happy are the meek. Who are the meek? Those that are pleasing the Lord. And those who start out, get saved, and continue to serve Him. By His grace and because of His continued grace, thank God someday we'll inherit the earth. Are you meek? Maybe that's why you're not happy. Because happy are the meek. Right now, I think that brings happiness. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Father, Thank you for these beautiful beatitudes that you gave us as part of a sermon that you preached on the Mount. And God, I pray that you would help us to place ourselves under your authority, under your power tonight. If we've gotten out from under it, help us put ourselves back under it. Happy. Some folks here tonight are not happy. And that's the reason. It can be explained. Or maybe one of those first three. But oh God, we know that we're happy if we're poor in spirit. We're happy if we mourn. We can be happy if we're meek. Help us to be a meek people like Moses, strong but meek, like Jesus, strong but meek, loving and kind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.